East Coast Breakfast with Darren Moll.
Hello, Andy Grammer.
How's it going?
I'm very well, thank you. You know what? Before we get to your new song, I just want to extend my condolences to you and everyone affected by the loss of Kobe Bryant.
You know, I'm in Los Angeles right now, and I'm driving down the street, and there's huge memorials everywhere.
It must be huge, and very, very sad.
Especially Los Angeles. We're working our way through it, but. Yeah, thank you.
So I saw in an interview that you and I think it's with your management, you have this thing about when you got to stay focused. You call it like Kobe eyes or something.
Yeah, totally. We were just, he's known as someone who is like very intense and competitive. And I grew up playing basketball, like high school basketball and stuff. And so, yeah, when we would say that we had to get something done, it was like really important, or we had to, you know, go write a great song or just like close on something.
Yeah.
We would reference him a lot. And so, he was that to a lot of people. So, yeah, Los Angeles and the world right now seems like it's pretty shocked.
Yeah. It's on all news networks. And, like I said, we forward our condolences to everyone affected by the loss of this amazing human being. Now, any surprises, any comments on the Grammys?
I have a two-year-old. I'm out of it. I know Billie Eilish cleaned up. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's so amazing. You know, it was great.
I'm glad you're talking about your little girl, because that's what we're really, really excited about. Is your new track here? Well, it's I don't know how new it is, but it's relatively new to us here in South Africa. She'd Say, and your little girl is the star in this.
She's the star. Yeah, so I wrote this song. I mean, my mother passed away 10 years ago, and my wife this year got me a phone call with a medium, which I don't know where you stand on that. I don't know where I stand on it.
Well, I'm glad you...
But I took the call.
Yeah.
And right away, like really early on in the medium, he goes, your mom is here, Kathy, right? I'm like, okay, sure. And he goes, she's telling me very adamantly that she wants you to write a song from her to your daughter about everything that she would say to her, but that she can't because she's not there. I'm like, honestly, that's just a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is, just an amazing idea. So I wrote this song. My mom was a huge fan of the Paul Simon album, Graceland, which features Lady Smith Black Mambazo. And so I grew up listening to this group all the time because it was just like one of her favorite records. So the week that I wrote the song that was apparently ordered from heaven, Lady Smith happened to be in Los Angeles performing, which I thought was pretty weird. All of it together just makes the most insane story that I've ever experienced with music.
It was all the signs were there.
They came into the studio. Oh, my God. They semicircled around me, and they started coming up with their part, like, on the spot. And they're singing in Zulu. They're saying, I miss my mom, and that's what she'd say.
Yeah.
And it was unbelievable. It was, like, such a wild experience. And so in the video, we went to my mom's gravesite, and it's also just footage of Lady Smith Black Mambazo coming into the studio and my little girl running around. They're, like, high-fiving my little girl.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable thing to happen, and I don't know if I'll ever have anything that crazy happen again.
Well, that's why I wanted to ask you, because I hear, obviously, like you say, mom was a fan of Paul Simon and Graceland. Ladysmith Black Mambazo were in L.A. at the time, and that moment when they arrived, because here's two musical entities that had never worked together, like you'd never interacted with each other. How did that all of a sudden become a song?
Yeah, well, they didn't know yet. You know, it's really funny. What a lot of people don't know is that the daytime when you're a traveling musician is like a really special time because you're working hard late into the night.
Yeah.
And then you go meet people. And so your mornings are kind of like everybody else's day, end of the day.
Hmm.
So I knew when they showed up and they hadn't heard the story yet that they were going to probably be annoyed with me for pulling them in at like 10 a.m. to do something.
Yeah.
They were all super sweet. And then when I got them all together, I had a huge photo of my mother blown up that I put in the studio.
Yeah.
And I'm holding my daughter and I start to tell them the story. And they were all so sweet. And, they all kind of could sense the profoundness around it as well.
Yeah.
And it became this unbelievable thing. It's really special.
They're just the most popular. Well, they're the most our most famous export apart from Charlize Theron. It's got to be Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And you know, when I heard that they were doing a number with you, I was just like super, super excited. And then I see a little girl
and to hear their voices on this type of song.
Yeah,
right. Like, so to have a song that's like playing with whatever wherever we go when we pass away, to have this magical depth that their voices bring is really important, you know.
Yeah. They occasionally come back home, and then we get to do gigs here in Durban, and everyone just flocks in. And I actually don't tell them this, but I actually put my hand up to go and MC those gigs for free. Just because the
Nice.
Yeah, but don't tell them that. And just to be there with the crowd, and they're one of the most amazing crossovers. Like people from all generations and all demographic get together, and they're the ultimate unifiers. These guys, they're amazing.
Yeah, there's some transcendent about them for sure.
Yeah. And your little girl, does she get it? Does she understand, like, firstly, the sentiment of this is Gran talking to her, and does she have any idea of...
Not yet. She's just getting to the place where she'll ask me, like, you know, because she likes music a lot, and she knows, you know, my father is a children's singer. He's an amazing children's singer, Red Grammar, Grammy-nominated children's singer. So we play a lot of my dad in the house.
Okay.
And my wife is an awesome songwriter. So she gets that everybody just, like, in her world, everybody's got an album and everything.
Yeah.
So she's starting to be like, you play me your stuff. But she doesn't really understand. I know. So, like, and she's like, you wrote this one for me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. That's where we're at. But she doesn't understand what's happening in the music quite yet.
How old is she now?
It's going to be great.
She's going out. Two and a half. She hasn't quite gotten to that stage where dad's not famous, all his friends are.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The coolest thing I've done so far is I'm a, I don't know if you guys know Sesame Street, but on Sesame Street, which is like a big kid show here.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a big deal for her.
When
I showed up next to Elmo, she was like, what is going on?
That's when it dawned on her. Hang on, my dad's that guy. He can hang with Elmo.
Connects with Elmo.
Yeah, I'm a dad to an 11-year-old now, and it's like everyone else that I know is an institution. Dad's just that guy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Andy, my daughter, she loves your song. I want to go back a little bit just to Don't Give Up. And one of the worst questions you could ask someone is, did you ever expect it to be this big? But it really is like the biggest thing ever.
It's so great. It's so cool to hear that. You know, the story with this one is that I wrote this with a couple friends, and we just kept writing songs. So we were like, in one session, we'd written one song, and we threw it away, wrote another song, threw it away, third song, threw it away. And after, I mean, that's a lot of songs. So at that point in one day, I was kind of ready to be done. And someone else in the room was like, yo, we should just write a song about not giving up, about writing songs.
Yeah.
I was like, now you're speaking my language. I love it. So we just kept going, and this one came out. I'm so glad it did.
I mean, just not a day goes by when I'm on Facebook and I don't see a school, but like all over the world. It's not, I see the ones where you with the school, but I also see like just it's become the anthem for children and people that are struggling all over the world to
children thing. It's like an extra like special spot in your heart when you see schools of children singing it.
Yeah.
I've never had a song that did that before.
Yeah.
Where it really kind of like blew up from school.
Everyone's just there, just enjoying it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And like you like, I don't know, when you like Andy Grammer is sort of like synonymous now. When I see your posts and I see the sentiment of you, you kind of Mr. Positivity. And like, have you always been like that? Like when you're a youngster, were you always like look on the bright side, glasses half full kind of thing, or like the rest of us muddling through this? Was there sort of like a moment when you realized, hang on, there's got to be a better way?
Yeah, I think I am like genetically optimistic. I don't know if I can take too much credit for it. But I do love the idea that in a world that is a little bit dark sometimes, it's a rebellious act, which I think is true. So sometimes, you know, the title of my album is Naive, which is like, if you want to call me naive, that's cool. I'll take that.
Yeah.
But I think it's actually a real power move to show up with optimism to all things.
Well, Andy Grammer, it's been a privilege to talk to you today. I can't wait to be playing your collab with Ladysmith Blackmore Basel on East Coast Breakfast, East Coast Radio. Thank you for chatting to me, and all the best with everything you do.
Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Cheers. East Coast Breakfast with Darren Moore.